Yeah.
Cool.
We are right. Pumped.
Everybody is ready. Okay. What have we done? Hello, wrestling fans. This is Matt Waters, the host with the most. This is the podcast of honor where we talk about all things Ring of Honor. Some very dishonorable things happened last night in Asheville, North Carolina. We're going to talk about them shortly. With me here is Chris GST, webmaster of PWP, an all-around good dude. How's it going, sir?
Dude is very good. I'm happy. I'm full of food. Hope everyone's having a good Easter as of this recording. Yeah, I'm good to go.
I'm full of food too. I've had two very different culinary experiences in the last 48 hours. Last night I got food poisoning from bad food, and then tonight I had one of the best meals I've ever had at a nice restaurant. So, you know, up and down. Speaking of up and down? No, that's not really a good segue. Just pure up. This man is nothing but positivity. Ari Positivity Bernstein, how are you doing, sir?
I am filled with matzah. And,
be more positive.
So, yes, I'm filled with lots of matzah!
There it is.
There's a positive tone of voice.
That's
yes.
How that goes.
Yeah, so literally I'm going up because my carbohydrate level is up, so I've gained a lot. I've gained some weight this vacation. I need to work it off. It is not fun.
You can work it off by writing those lesson plans, Ari.
Yes, the newly gainfully employed Ari.
We'll work it off by flapping our gums about wrestling for a couple of hours. How's about that?
Sure. And then I'll get on those lesson plans. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, wrestling first, career second.
Always.
Okay. Yeah. So, last night, we are recording this Easter Sunday, so last night, the 30th of March, in Asheville, North Carolina, ROH presented a little show called War. What is it good for? Let's find out. So, wasn't really a huge show. So we're just going to run through it real quick, and then we will single out the two sort of major stories that came away from all of this. So just real quick, Michael Elgin defeated Adam Page with the Elgin Bomb. So Adam Page gets to work with like a key member of the roster, but Elgin stays strong. QT Marshall faced Darren Dean, who is a Team Ambition student. Their match went to a no contest because Scum interfered. QT Marshall name dropped some New Japan talent as a potential tag team partner for him on the iPay-per-view, but we'll talk about that when we run down the iPay-per-view. Jimmy Jacobs and Jimmy Rave, here for to be known as the Jimmies, they defeated Mike Mondo and Grizzly Redwood. Lots of Steve Corino shenanigans. Then they tried to put Grizzly Redwood through a table. Out comes BJ Whitmer to defend him, which leads to a match with Rhett Titus. Rhett Titus wins with a roll of quarters, nailing BJ in the head. BJ Whitmer will never escape this reputation as a hardcore wrestler, as much as he tries to be a technical submission-based guy. And then Scum attacked BJ. Well, he briefly, with the Peruvian necktie and whatnot, he shouldn't be a scientific wrestler.
One move. I see.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Scum attacked BJ Whitmer after the match. The Wolves made a save. Then they beat CNC Wrestle Factory, who are not members of Scum, but, you know, all these run-ins and whatnot, all these matches bleeding into each other. It's like an old Gabe Sapolsky pay-per-view. The Wolves put CNC over after the match. It got this his awesome chance, etc., etc. Then there was intermission. And then we will talk about this at length in a moment, but a local wrestler called Jeff Neal beat Charlie Haas with a roll-up after Charlie Haas announced his retirement from wrestling, and all kinds of shenanigans happened, which we'll get into, as I said, in a second. ROH World Tag Team Champions Red Dragon of Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish retained over Alabama Attitude. It gives them a title defense going forward, so they can have a bit of a legacy, I suppose. In a Proving Ground match, ACH...
some legacy.
Yeah, you know it. ACH went over Matt Taven, Roderick Strong, and Jay Lethal by pinning Taven clean, so he will have a TV title shot coming his way in the future, which is probably wise, because they should be building that TV division around ACH, Matt Taven, etc., these young guys they've got. And in the main event, Kevin Steen, much to my bitter disappointment, defeated Mark Briscoe. No Briscoe versus Briscoe main event, despite the strong promo from Mark the other day. They were basically saying, you know, Steen is going to retain and he's going to face Jay Briscoe in the main event. And then Mark just cut this promo like, let's not be so hasty. It was a nice attempt. It was a good promo, but Kevin Steen obviously goes over here with the package pile driver. So let's get into the major story that everybody's been talking about today. Craziness happened last night. If anyone was following live tweet to the show, suddenly out of the blue on this non-eye pay-per-view, this kind of B show against a no-name wrestler, Charlie Haas goes insane. He cuts a very, very long promo before the match, putting over the entire roster and everything and making comments about Delirious as a booker and insulting Kevin Kelly and all kinds of stuff. And then during the match, he was alleged to have been crying and yelling and all sorts and mentioned Nigel McGuinness. And then after the match, he wouldn't leave and gave the finger to one of the backstage crew while they were trying to get him to leave. And according to a live report, someone saw him behind the curtain and he punched Grizzly Redwood after doing a lot of shouting and swearing. And then he left quite quickly. And on Twitter, he confirmed that he was retired. And he said him and Shelton will always be, you know, the best tag team. And he's not going to be at Supercard of Honor. And he doesn't know if Shelton will be. And he's now going to move on and be a dad and what, and just... it's insane. It is insane. I did not expect to read this kind of thing when I woke up sleepily and thought, what happened on that show last night? Did Mark Briscoe win the title? No, Charlie Haas retired, though.
It's been a strange weekend, too.
It has.
Stevie Richards defending a title in a game, the Extreme Rising promotion title,
yep.
And supposedly in a game of Madden. I guess that didn't happen for sure, but wanted it to happen, and he stuffed his title in the fridge, and then the passing of Ric Flair earlier in the week. So it's been a weird week for professional wrestling.
Mm. So, Chris, what do you? It's kind of a broad question. What do you make of this? But I mean, I think the most obvious answer is this is quite unprofessional and strange. What's your take on this?
It's odd. But my first thought, though, is I would like to know how someone discernibly, I guess, saw him crying in the ring. I just don't see how someone would be able to tell the difference between crying and sweat. But anyway. And then,
reaction, Chris?
Say what?
That is some first reaction. I don't know if he's crying or sweating.
It's the first thing that comes to my mind when someone says something like that.
Okay, proceed.
What if Charlie Haas was wailing at the top of his lungs?
Well, then I think we would see a lot more people saying that. So, anyway, yes, that is quite a Chris thing to say. But, I mean, hey, the little characteristics, everything adds up. So, obviously, when we reported on it on the Facebook page, you know, obviously I question it. It's wrestling, you know. And then people are like, oh, it seems like a work. And then other people are like, oh, it's a shoot. He's really telling the truth. He's being very honest here because of what happened. And I'm like, don't really care. Yeah, if it is true and this is how he chose to do it, unless somehow he got the okay to do this to kind of make it that weird, you know, on the line type deal, then it's unprofessional. But if he got the okay, hey, let's make this real sounding and whatever, then hey, great. It's a great way for heel to go out. It's kind of like that. I'm not comparing it to in terms of the level of quality. But like when Chris Jericho was quote unquote fired, and a lot of fans were in uproar saying, oh, how could they do that to him? You know, it's so disrespectful. It's like, hey, you know what? This is wrestling. Maybe this is how a heel would leave Ring of Honor in a bitter loss to some guy. And that's no offense to Jeff Neal, but just saying. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't really care. If I don't see him at Supercard of Honor, great.
Well,
wow.
Well, the rumor going around, I don't want to speculate on this too much because it's kind of a controversial topic of discussion, but he was allegedly unhappy with the placement of the 10-bell salute for Reed Flair on this show. It took place in intermission instead of at the start. I don't know how much truth there is in that, but allegedly he got into a big blow-up with the Ring of Honor people. I doubt that was enough to make him suddenly snap and decide he was going to retire. I could see that making him want to just leave the company and go ply his trade elsewhere, but
that seems like the weirdest or just the thinnest of excuses. But there's a point, I guess, to that. I mean, you know, you think about when most 10-bell tributes are at the beginning of shows. We were at, I was at the Misawa tribute show, or it wasn't a tribute show, but it was the basically the day after, the day of Misawa dying tragically in the ring. This was, I think, was
it was Tyler the Black countdown tour, wasn't it?
No, it was the Tyler Black, Austin Aries. It was Manhattan Mayhem 3, I think. Okay. I might be off on that one right now. I don't know. But that was one of the first things that happened was everyone came out. Flair was there. He came out, and they did the tribute at the beginning of the show. So yeah. Ring of Honor is, you know, that's been pro forma. That's the way it's been. So, I mean, if that is a gripe, that's a gripe. That's legitimate, but I don't see why that would be the thing to make it snap.
Yeah. I just got to wonder. Like,
so, well, speaking on that, just – you know, to go back to that, what you said, Ari, is that it's such a Chris thing to say. Just out of curiosity, say that was true, why would you cry about it? That's my weird thing about saying, the ring just makes the report much more legitimate because he was crying in the ring. It's like, what?
Okay. Well, you know, first of all, you know, and again, the speculation is that he was drinking. People reported him drinking. I don't know. Who the hell knows? You know, having...
doesn't drink. How dare you, sir?
Well, it depends on what beer we're talking about, what doesn't piss him off. But, yeah, I mean, look, the death of his brother and just the general, yeah, the general tone of the week and the idea that, you know, he's probably, you know, hurting and aging at this point, and he probably sees that, you know, there's more to life than what he was doing, and he wanted to spend time with his family, he said. I don't know. These are all excuses and reasons. I mean, I think the real reason why you should care about this story is the fact that this all happened on a random house show a week before Supercard of Honor 7, which was their biggest show of the week, or of the WrestleMania weekend, basically, you know, and they had been building to Haas versus Benjamin, both on television and through the internet for promotions and stuff like that, the news wires. So this is an incredibly abrupt departure, and you know, work, or if it's a shoot and he comes out, or if it's a work and he comes out at Supercard of Honor 7 anyway, or he joins the Scum. These are all things people have said. Other people said, look, treat this news as legitimate because this wasn't planned. I mean, who the hell knows? We're not going to know until Friday for sure. But that's a big news story, is that, you know, they had built up Charlie Haas, you know, for a while now. They, you know, we last episode we did, the podcast where we were talking about all the YouTube videos where Charlie Haas was talking about things that pissed him off, and they built a character around him, and they had done these backstage vignettes, or like these vignettes where he was attacking BJ Whitmer at the car dealership. So they built, for some reason, Ring of Honor had chosen to build around him for a little bit here, and had then viewed him as something that somebody was important for their cards. And so for him, for this to happen, it is weird and incredibly strange because of all the things that have been built up beforehand. You wouldn't expect them to go in this direction if they're working on some sort of build to a match versus Benjamin next week.
That is true. You are right. I shouldn't be so flippant about it. I mean, if it is, whether it is or isn't.
No. If you don't care, you don't care. I mean, there are lots of people I've read on forums already saying, well, good riddance and all that. And
I question it so much. My cynicism came out there. It's that I question it being a shoot. So I'm kind of like, you know what? It's either going to amount to him joining Scum, or he's going to come out, and then all of a sudden Shelton Benjamin's there, and they're going to fight anyway, and you know. So,
well, if I think if it was a work, he would come out at Supercard and say, "Ah, this match isn't happening because I'm retiring," as like a way to like chicken out of a match with Shelton, and then Shelton would attack him. The extent this has been taken, or the amount of things that you can pile up in the side of this is real, I think is too many for it to be a work. Like, if this is a work, they took it too far. I think it is legitimate. I just think it's incredibly unless he's decided the moment he walked through the curtain and he didn't tell anyone that's what was happening, and Delirious is backstage flipping out.
Well, then this is you could still point, though, to they've kind of taken it sometimes too far, and I don't know whether this was booked or not, but look back at, well, when, it's, he still is, when Kevin Steen, his major feud was with Davey. He's outside of shows cutting these promos to guys on, and saying, hey, get your cell phone out, I'm going to cut a promo, when literally it's such a small percentage of the fan base was even going to see that, was still considered an integral part.
Right, it was guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, so maybe this another way to take it, a little bit further.
That he's breaking kayfabe, so to speak, by doing this. So if this is a work, then it's messing with the product. I don't see how this would benefit them if he does come out to do this.
Look at what he really said beforehand. I mean, he was insulting Kevin Kelly. He had a derogatory remark about Nigel, about his hepatitis, which I won't.
But he also got over the entire roster.
Yeah.
And he's meant to not like anybody on the roster.
Right. As soon as the match is over, he broke down and he was like thanking the crowd and stuff. And the crowd who has been, vilifying him for the last year and booing him, and now they're chanting "Thank you, Charlie," and it's just the weirdness of professional wrestling shows. It's like you don't know if it's in the ring, you have to question whether or not it's a legit or not. But front stage, backstage, sometimes these things conflate. Sometimes these things come together. And you look at the MSG incident, which I attended when I was a kid. I was at that show, and like people knew that that wasn't supposed to happen. And people reacted like, "Whoa, what the heck is going on there?" This is back in '97. So look, these kind of things do happen, where like things happen in the ring where they're not authorized or sanctioned by the people in the back who are setting up the shows, and this could have been one of them. So if that is the case, I mean, if this is Charlie House's last appearance for Ring of Honor, it's an epic flame out, and something that will be remembered for better or for worse. This show wasn't going to be remembered unless they decided to Eddie Edwards the title to Mark Briscoe like Matt
should have.
Yeah, but that didn't happen, and so the rest of the show is some solid mid card matches, and then the title match, and then this. I mean, this is such a weird anomaly, and it's become the major news piece of the show. We're not talking about the show. We're talking about Charlie Haas. So,
well, my thing is, if this is like a legit shoot where he surprised everyone by doing this and just like quietly to himself, didn't tell anyone, and then announced it in the ring, then that's, he's kind of fucked the company, so to speak. Like, he's ruined this match they had set up. I don't know if they've already paid Shelton to appear or whatnot. I don't know if there is.
Or what if we find out that it actually happened because Shelton got signed and couldn't go through with the match anymore? So they said,
They would just have Haas come out and say that Shelton chickened out, and then he would beat up a jobber or something. But my thing is,
would come out and beat him up.
That's sure. My thing is, could he not just, given how much ROH has put into him, like, I don't want to insult Charlie Haas, but he has always been seen as the Marty Jannetty of that team. Everyone is always talking about Shelton Benjamin. And they really sunk their teeth into Charlie Haas. And I think he did some good work for Ring of Honor. And they really pushed him. They positioned him in this role. I've compared him to Bully Ray before, wherein, you know, if several years ago, if you said Bubba Ray Dudley is going to be the main event of a company and he's going to be a champion and a heel and the best heel possibly in the business, people would laugh. And if you'd said this about Charlie Haas several years ago, it might have been the same reaction. But he got himself over as a legit heel, a main event heel in this company. And I don't know how many companies would give him, like companies with like television and pay-per-views and that gets actual views, would position him as a main event talent. And for him to turn around, I don't see why he couldn't give us one more five-minute match with his best friend wherein he loses and reacts to it so badly he quits the company. And that's a legit quit. I don't see why they couldn't have done that instead of him basically self-destructing and ruining a match. Like, he could just go out there, they could phone it in for 5 minutes, Shelton rolls him up, Haas looks stunned and then goes, "I quit," and then walks off. And then Shelton high-fives everyone. Why couldn't this have happened?
Well, no, well, that's the thing of a flame-out like this, you know, a breakdown, is that you don't control it, it just happens, you know, and you're not thinking next week or, you know, next month, you're in that moment, and look, wrestlers are humans. You know, we may objectify them as, you know, like these cartoon, not cartoon characters, but like these simulacrum for warriors and fighters and stuff like that. But, you know, they're performers and, you know, Al Pacino is, you know, may not be he's not the character he plays in Scent of a Woman or Heat. He's, you know, when he takes off that role, he's himself. So, you know, actors have gone through tantrums on the set, and, you know, wrestlers have done the same in the ring before. So, you know, I don't expect Charlie Haas to exert self-control if this is legit, you know, in that situation. And, you know, Ring of Honor is, you know, within their rights to just, you know, kind of write him off right now. They didn't acknowledge him on the little bit of a post-wrap-up that Kevin Kelly does. Didn't even mention him at all. And, you know, so, again, that really lends credence either way, I don't know, to work or shoot, because if it was a work, then maybe they wouldn't intentionally mention him. But if it's a shoot, then they wouldn't intentionally mention him in the same way that they wrote off Kenny King when Kenny King left for TNA and they decided that they weren't going to deal with him anymore. But it's funny because, you know, you have guys like Mark Briscoe talking about the past and Rick Titus and his people talking about, you know, characters who have been, wrestlers who have been mistreated by Ring of Honor, to get the scum angle over. But, you know, so Ring of Honor isn't, you know, it's wrestlers have been averse to mentioning other wrestlers from other promotions or other times in the past where that kind of stuff has happened, where like people have mistreated Ring of Honor or Ring of Honor has mistreated them. But Kevin Kelly didn't mention him at all in that wrap up. So I don't know. But I mean, again, I don't blame them for if it's legit, and I don't blame them for, you know, doing the same thing they did with Kenny King.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, there's some like major personal crisis in his life that requires he stops doing this right now, and he found out at the show or something. And you know, I don't want to completely lay into this guy and then find out that something horrible's happened to him. Because based on the facts we have, it seems like he could have at least, as I said, gone out and jobbed to Shelton one last time for 5 minutes and then quit. But we'll see how this all unfolds and what it means forward.
Maybe the Ring of Honor will reach out to Raven or Shane Douglas or anyone else from Extreme Rising that needs a booking, and they'll match him up with Shane or Shelton.
Raven versus Shelton Benjamin. That sounds like a very strange match.
You gotta take the pieces that are
I would take Shane Douglas and Shelton Benjamin be the battle of the belly to bellies. Be excellent.
The last time Shane Douglas appeared in Ring of Honor, he got slaughtered.
Yeah, he got
slaughtered by the crowd.
You remember Shane Douglas' run in TNA against Christopher Daniels?
No.
I do remember him vomiting,
which was...
That was strange.
Yeah, I remember when he came back with the t-shirt and he sat down in the middle of the ring and he was talking. I was like, why are you here?
Ahead of his time. He beat CM Punk to the butt.
To the pipe bombs and whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Take that. The franchise. Anyway.
It's like an action chart where, like, you know, the Homo sapiens to, you know, monkeys to Homo sapiens. And yeah. Shane Douglas, it's like Shane Douglas, CM Punk, Charlie Haas.
Okay.
And I think that's a good transition.
A good transition to Supercard of Honor. From the Hammerstein Ballroom, New York City. It will be going down on the 5th of April. That's soon. That's like really soon, guys.
Like, yep. This is going to be happening. Yes. It is in about 5 days.
Yeah.
And in 4 days, I'll be in Ari's neck of the woods, kind of, sort of. Well, at least closer to him than I've ever been. So, yeah.
Well, now.
Not like, God. Good God, people! Let's have some class on this show.
Before you know it, you'll be listening to us running down the results of this show, where we'll find out that Roderick Strong flipped out and retired. But no, I hope not. So there's a card.
Are you saying this is like the Harlem Shake thing that's going to happen now? Everyone's going to do their own video of it.
Everyone is going.
I'm retired. I'm going to go home and I'm going to go sleep with my wife.
Hey, let's be honest, guys. If you had the choice of wrestling at Ring of Honor or going home to Jackie Gata, it's not a hard decision.
You're right.
True.
WrestleCon it is. Go ahead.
WrestleCon. Okay, I wrote a preview for this, so you can read that in written form, so I probably won't go completely overboard with my opinions, which opens up Ari and Chris to wax lyrical about the card. But here we go, reverse order. So we have a 10-man war, ROH versus Scum, a.k.a. let's take everyone who wasn't already in a match and just throw them into a tag. But it does kind of work out nicely because all of the ROH guys have been jumped by the Scum guys before, so it works. So you have BJ Whitmer, Mark Briscoe, Mike Mondo, and Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander representing Ring of Honor. And then on the side of Scum, the Jimmies, both Rave and Jacobs, Steve Corino, leader of Scum, kind of now, Cliff Compton and Rhett Titus. They're going to war, gentlemen, a 10-man war. It's quite a busy match to cram on the, you know, a match like that I would expect to last quite a while. It's quite a stacked card already, although maybe there's one less match now. But how do we think this is going to go down, Ari?
I like this match. When I was thinking about setting up a card for this, you know, the main event of Kevin Steen, Jay Briscoe. I know you're excited for this, Matt. It wouldn't be my first choice for a WrestleMania weekend show. Not to knock either one of them, because I think they'll do a fantastic job. Jay usually does during the singles matches, but. I was thinking, I would have rather done like a huge 10-man tag between this newly created force of Scum, which, last time we were doing the preview for the 11th anniversary show, and that they formed on that show. So we really even haven't talked about the formation of that, the super group now so much, or at least Scum.
Yeah, I was actually just about to say that we should slightly discuss that, because I don't think we none of us have done a show since Scum formed. I know I put my thoughts out there with Jerome. But
I forgot that.
And then I do have another question. Matt, where did you get that lineup from? Because when I just copy and pasted the lineup from the Ring of Honor website, I have the Jimmies, Red Titus, Compton, and Rhino, not Carino, which I did find odd.
Really?
Find that odd, too. I was like, why isn't Steve Carino in this? So, I don't know. I was just wondering if you had more updated info.
No, I think I probably just wrote it down wrong. No, I think it is Rhino, because I was going to make the note that it seemed with all of this, Steve Carino has taken the step to be the suit and tie wearing leader slash manager of Scum rather than the...
He's the cornet of Scum.
He is.
That's bad.
He really is. Okay, yeah. I know. Well, if Rhino's on their team, they're going to win. I'm sorry, but...
But yeah, I mean, I really like the idea of doing a 10-man war, of doing this huge epic tag. I really think that, if any, you know, I think Steen and Jay can do a great job. I mean, look, I was there, my first Ring of Honor show was Jay Briscoe, Samoa Joe in a cage match at our best in 2004. I know Jay Briscoe can deliver on a great singles title match, even though he's never been a full threat to win a title, to actually be the champion. But the main event of that show was the was a scramble cage melee with the Carnage crew up against Special K, and that was a crazy match too. Both of those matches had their merits of like what was going to be the main event. I like the 10-man war. I like the idea of this new force, you know, going up against Ring of Honor's forces. It gives me flash.
You would rather it was like the Briscoes, Elgin, Lethal, and I don't know, BJ Whitmer still against the top scum guys of Steen and the Jimmies and
I guess Cliff Bottom and Titus. Yeah, I would think a good even mix of top guys and middle card guys is fine, but that also sounds good to like the superstars at the top.
I think they're gonna build to that though.
Yeah. So I don't mind what they did here so much. It gives me, like I said, I was going to say, it gives me flashbacks to the Ring of Honor CCW war, and that was fun, and I assume this will be, you know, much on the same lines. You know, and again, you got BJ Whitmer there. You've got Grizzly and Mike Mondo as the saviors of honor. I don't know why, but okay. I don't think it's going to help him get over much, but whatever. I guess Ring of Honor feels they got to try. Cliff Compton is very interesting because nobody's ever really seen him perform in terms of in Ring of Honor, in terms of outside of WWE. The Ring of Honor fans probably haven't seen much of him.
Hey, now let's not discredit his work with $5 wrestling.
No. I was gonna say, but you gotta let me finish here, Chris, because I talk a lot. You know, I don't talk nearly enough as much as I should. I was going to say that I really enjoy his appearances on the Art of Wrestling podcast. I think that gives you a better insight into his true personality, and I hope he brings that into the wrestling ring, Ring of Honor. So I like this. I like this match, and I think obviously it's early, so the scum forces will probably take this one. There you go.
Yeah. Cliff Compton. Of the members of Scum, as Chris said, we should probably talk about this. So in the main event of, what was it? Was it the 11th anniversary?
Yes, 11th anniversary.
Yeah, 11th anniversary show. Steen retains, and then all the current members of Scum came out, but then hitting the ring were a returning Jimmy Rave, a debuting, I think, Cliff Compton, Rhett Titus turned on Ring of Honor by, you know, he took off his Ring of Honor shirt, had a Scum shirt on. Matt Hardy joined Scum. So, but, you know, Scum grew to be this huge super group. They ripped up a Ring of Honor flag, beat everyone down. Kevin Steen didn't really associate himself with them, and that's an ongoing thing where it seems Steen is going to slowly leave Scum. And I think the eventual story is here, you know, I created this, let me destroy it, and no one trusts him. On the side of Ring of Honor, because, you know, like his feud with Jay Lethal, he said he's proud to be a Ring of Honor champion now, finally, or whatever. So I think that's going to be the eventual. I think the final match is Steen on the side of Ring of Honor in a multi-man tag against Scum and a multi-man tag winner take all. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. But so Scum is now a big mega group. It's another invasion type story because Steve Corino has declared death to Ring of Honor, and you know everyone in this group has been screwed by Ring of Honor, etc., etc. I just gotta say, I like the idea in principle. Anything that gets Jimmy Rave back into Ring of Honor is fine by me, but I could not care less about Cliff Compton. I'm sorry, I know a lot of people are a fan based on our wrestling, but
he's a minor character. So if you don't like him so much, you know you can take him or leave him.
I know, but him coming, like Jimmy Rave coming through a crowd at a Ring of Honor show, that gets a pop. It's like, oh, it's Jimmy Rave. And Rhett Titus turning gets a reaction. But Cliff Compton came out, and I'm pretty sure 90% of the crowd did not know who he was. And the people that did, it was like, oh, it's Cliff Compton. Like, I don't know. He seemed an odd choice to debut like that to me. But Like, if they'd brought him in to Ring of Honor generally, and then he joined Scum, maybe, but it seemed an odd thing for him to debut like that. But anyway, Chris, what do you make of the big Scum supergroup and also this 10-man war that's going to kick off, I assume, Supercard of Honor 7?
Well, for anyone, hopefully, at least some of you, listened to the podcast where I thought about it and discussed it with Jerome, and I believe Dez. Actually, no, with Matt Gibson, I think. It when it comes to Cliff Compton, I like the Scum, kind of like you and Ari. I like the theory behind it. I think, you know, it's a super group. It's, you know, everyone kind of is doing their faction thing right now, an invasion angle, so to speak.
Yeah.
I did kind of hit, I guess, you know, I'll want your guys' feedback on this in a little bit. Cliff Compton, as you noted, Ari, you know, he's been on The Art of Wrestling. So could his part of the group kind of be a hint that perhaps at some point we will see someone else joining Scum who was, you could say, kind of...
Neil Colt Cabana would never
Yeah, work. Because other than that, that's really the only tie-in that Cliff Compton has to this, because he does not have any prior history to Ring of Honor, as far as I know, and it just feels like the only connection he has to Ring of Honor at all is Colt Cabana, and if he's the guy that's kind of like, yeah, I'm talking to one of my friends, and he never has to say the name, but I think anyone that knows will go, oh, he's talking to Colt, and at some point we will see Colt come in. Possibly, no. Well, you know, I'm just saying, it just feels that other than that, and I guess that's, you know, my hope for it, because other than that, like you, Matt, I have no interest in him being in Ring of Honor at all. And that's not a knock on him. I saw him in WWE. He's fine in the ring. So, yeah, I do agree with Ari that I think Scum should go over here, because, God, if they lose in the first match, then we have no reason to care. You know, hopefully that happens. But yeah, I like it overall. You know, I've been watching the TV the last two episodes. I haven't seen the one from this weekend as we're recording right now. But, you know, it is what it is. It hasn't been great. I will say that, in my opinion. It's been rather ho-hum. Nothing really catching. No, I'm not saying like it's bad, but it's not exciting. It's not engaging me to go, oh man, I really need to see next week on TV. I don't feel that way. I just go, okay. There you go. And maybe that is because I already knew that it occurred, because obviously we reported on the spoilers. But still, I've reported on spoilers before, seen the TV, and was really engaged in it. So, you know, it's all in the execution. But yeah, I do predict that Scum will go over. I do have a question for you guys, though. Yes, in terms of Steen is, he is part of Scum. He is the founding father of it. But he has distanced himself so much from this new faction. It feels to me like a reverse... Kind of. Do you guys remember, and this is maybe will date me, back in WWF during the Attitude Era, when Shawn Michaels came back but aligned himself with the corporation against DX, the group that he founded with Triple H? It kind of feels like a weird reverse version of that, where it's like at some point Steen is like, yeah, I helped form Scum, and now I hate it, because he cut that promo saying, oh, I'm happy to be champion now. You know, I was fighting against Jim Cornette, and now... Jim Cornette's gone, that's why Lethal got the title shot, and now I love being Ring of Honor champion. So it's kind of like everything he spoke out against, which also, obviously, I think, Ari, you pointed this out before in the past, kind of some holes there, but he ultimately made the point of saying in that promo that now that Cornette's gone, he's kind of okay being Ring of Honor champion. He doesn't want to destroy Ring of Honor anymore. So,
well, yeah, and then here's that's the big thing is, and I think Matt also hinted at this earlier, is the whole motivation to Scum is, and especially like with Cliff Compton coming in and what he was saying on Twitter and Steve Corito, they want to destroy Ring of Honor. But, you know, previous, you know, invasion angles, like the Prophecy, they didn't want to kill Ring of Honor. They wanted to reshape Ring of Honor in their own image. You know, they had a disagreement with the philosophy of Ring of Honor, and they wanted to change that, change the rules so that their paradigm could exist. with the CZW war, that was just an all-out war between two different promotions, and it wasn't about, you know, the existence of one promotion or the other. It wasn't like a WWE, WCW, ECW war where, like, all the promotions are going to fold into one at the end, and you knew it was going to be WWE. Or WWF at the time. It's not like that. This is like the motivation of Scum is we want to kill Ring of Honor. We want Ring of Honor to die. And, well, you know, if you just think on the face of it, well, you know, Jimmy Rave just came back. Cliff Compton's in for the first time, really. on the main shows. He might have done one or two pre-shows or whatever, but this is his first real big opportunity. Like I said, Rave is back for the first time in a while. Bret Titus is back on the shows after a while. I mean, wait a minute. Why would you want to kill the promotion? Because if you kill the promotion, if on the face of it you kill Ring of Honor, where are your bookings? What are you going to be doing, you know, for the rest of your career? I mean, you know, on the face of it, that doesn't make sense. So.
And it's also weird. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's weird to point out that Steve Corino has also said that these guys are against Ring of Honor because they feel disrespected. But also, Steve Corino always mentions, "I was here from day one, and this Ring of Honor is not the way it used to be, and that's why he wants to destroy it." And it's like, wait, so you want to destroy it because it's not the Ring of Honor that it used to be, but you also want to destroy it because you're disgruntled? It's kind of weird.
Sure, the motivation for blurred a little bit, but you know, on the bottom line, it is the reason I think you may feel, Chris, because you're not as into it, is because it's been territory that's not only been done before in Ring of Honor, but it's being done everywhere right now. I mean, it's like the hip thing to have an invasion force. You know, WWE has the Shield, TNA has Aces of Eights. Even, you know, Chikara had, over the past few years, the BDK and the Gekido forces. So, or Gekido, depending on your pronunciation. I don't want to piss off Kevin and Justin. But, you know, it's... to me, when they did the reveal of the new members of Scum, there was a little bit of a BDK flair to it, where he had these people come out. It was a little bit unexpected, and of course, the BDK was more detailed, more in depth, more fleshed out. Whereas this one was more like, "Oh, here's Jimmy Rave!" All of a sudden, and last time we saw Jimmy Rave, he was actually a face who was going against Prince Nana's new embassy of Ciampa and company. And here's Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy made sense, but Matt Hardy also, you know, it was more along the lines of, you know, he was telling Ring of Honor fans, "You need me, you know, I'm not the cancer, I'm the cure." And I don't know if that motivation is parallel or perpendicular to what Scum goes through, but I will say that is a natural fit. And I guess I'll bring this up to you guys, because I thought, you know, yes, it's a large supergroup now, but I actually thought they may have, you know, may have missed a boat or two, because I think they should have added Red Dragon and Matt Taven and Truth Martini and sort of connect everything on that 11th anniversary show, where you had, you know, you had Matt Taven and win the titles, the TV title, then you had Red Dragon win the tag belts, and now all of a sudden, if they're a part of Scum and they join up with Steen, who's the champion, now all of a sudden Scum has all the titles. So if anything, yes, this is a large super group of people out there, but that I think would have been an awesome angle to sort of like amp up what they wanted to do, what they did do, and take that to the next level.
I don't know if I agree with that though.
Okay. Just a possibility.
I don't see Taven. I think Taven is going to keep to it. I think this feud is going to be sort of the top and the bottom, and then those like Red Dragon and Taven are going to exist in the middle. I think Scum are going to kind of stay away from the middle. I don't see them challenging, wanting the... I don't know why they wouldn't want the belts, but I just think Taven's going to do his shtick now with Truth Martini and feud with ACH and Adam Page and all these younger guys. And I think Red Dragon have got issues going on with the Wolves and whoever. I wouldn't... Bobby Fish, I could maybe see in it, but Kyle O'Reilly would be a stretch to me to be a member of Scum, but could happen. I think if they draft anyone, I mean, they surely are going to grow a little bit more, because that is the tradition of these groups. Like, they debut and then they later add someone else. I think Red Dragon would be the first people on the list to get drafted from the remaining roster, but
it just would have made sense for me from like a power and influence standpoint to have all the titles or Scum control. Now they really could kill Ring of Honor if they wanted to, because they had all the power and control of the title belts. You know, they would call all the shots. But even during the NWO's big days, that wasn't the entire show. They had the cruiserweights on the undercard. You had the different divisions and stuff like that. So maybe I am going overboard. But you know, it's a possibility. It was an option I was thinking of. Like, oh, wouldn't that be cool or extra? Because, you know, I've always been saying the last year or two, like, let Ring of Honor should do something huge to change their status quo, you know, and this is their answer. So I can't blame them for doing that, you know, but at the same time, it's something that's being done in all these other promotions too, so it doesn't seem as cutting edge as it probably could have been or should have been. But it is something different, so I like that as sort of like this next part of next chapter of what Ring of Honor is going to be.
I have like an idea of where to go with it. I don't know if you'll like it because there's a key element that I know you're not a big fan of at all, but
it's Mike Mondo's the new leader of Scum.
No, please God, no. I kind of spoke about it a bit earlier, like, and we've all touched on it now, that this idea that Kevin Steen is, you know, drifting back towards the side of good and not really agreeing with the message of Scum anymore. And the way I would take this is, I mean, there's two parts here. You either have him actually turn face again, and we haven't had a face Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor for quite a while. He works as a face. He's a funny guy. The crowd connect with him. They like him even when he's a dick, so you might as well just have him be a good guy, I suppose. So you could do that and have him actually fight alongside Ring of Honor against Scum. Or where I would go with it, you have Steen saying all of this and like trying to earn everyone's trust heading into this big 5-on-5 winner take all type match for power or whatever, and Steen finally convinces them that, you know, he's on the side of Ring of Honor, only for him to then cost them the match, and then, you know, he was a deep undercover agent the whole time faking it all, and then Steve Corino takes Nigel McGuinness's job and Scum literally do run Ring of Honor. I know you guys don't like heel sort of GM type characters, but just right. I don't know, that could be a way to go with it, because it would be reminiscent of when Steen returned and saved Steve Corino from Michael Elgin. It looked like he was going to be a face, and then he went fuck Ring of Honor, and you know, he's, you know, because he could then just, you know, echo CM Punk and be like, why would you think I was going to change? I hate Ring of Honor, you know, I hate Ring of Honor, right. And just cost
and also, I mean, and again, this is where, again, being sort of like the same as doing the same thing as other promotions, you know, kind of bites them a little bit, because that what you just said would be what like Bully Ray has been doing, is, you know, sort of this,
yeah, true,
mole, and then all of a sudden he's the leader of Aces and Eights, and you know he, like, he was the valiant hero, he's going to fight against them, and you know, he's, but now he's the leader. He was revealed. It was him all along. You know, he was the higher power. I think it would be fine. I mean, that's a good direction to go to, as good as any. And you know, it seems clear to me, you know, they're putting all these other wrestlers in his path. You know, Mark Briscoe, Jay Briscoe, Adam Cole, BJ Whitmer, and Michael Elgin eventually. So there doesn't seem to be like a clear reason for him to turn face. Depending on who, you know, he's wrestling against. Defending the title against Ring of Honor faces, and so that's not the, you know, it even though, like, oh yeah, everyone's saying, oh yeah, it's clear he's distancing himself from Scum and he'll turn face eventually, right now, that, you know, they may be laying the groundwork, but they, you know, like you said, they may just as well do a reverse, and you know, and you're right, I'm not a big fan of heel authority figures, but Steve Corino is definitely someone who can make that work, make it feel fresh, fresher. Not a big fan of the paradigm. I think it's been done to death. But if you want Scum to have control and it's not through the titles, then it would have to be, you know, the stakes of that kind of match where Steve would be like, let me be on your team, Ring of Honor. It would have to be like control versus wiping Scum, you know, Scum disbands completely. In that case, I could see that, you know, Steen helping Corino, and they pull the trick.
Well, that would make sense. The thing is, if he does turn face, Steen, this is, the only, like, who does he lose that belt to? Like, he cannot.
Right.
I think his run has a few months left in it. Yeah, everyone would fear that answer. But unless he loses the belt and then turns on Scum because of it, because he's like, because they keep interfering in his matches when he doesn't want them to, and right, that could finally cost him the title too, like a Michael Elgin, and then he says, you know, I'm not happy I lost the belt, and you know, I'm going after Scum now, and I'll come back for that belt later. But the otherwise, who's he losing that title to if he turns face? And the answer I can think of that I wouldn't like is Jay Lethal joins Scum and is the champion. And that I want less than anything in the world. So,
wow.
Yeah. Hey. Well, think about it. Ring of Honor have screwed him over. And
you're right.
Aside from Steen, they don't really have like a title contender. And I don't see Elgin turning. And Matt Hardy people would kill themselves if Matt Hardy was Ring of Honor World Champion. So.
Yeah, but you know what? That wouldn't stop them, I don't think. But you're right. Lethal is a potential avenue.
Hinted at beforehand, kind of offhandedly, but we talked about it. You know, we all kind of said, okay, this Charlie Haas thing, whether it, could be a work. What if he's disgruntled with Ring of Honor? And then all of a sudden, Ring of Honor, Nigel says, I'm real desperate. I want to get this title off of Steen. And you're up against Charlie Haas. Charlie Haas wins the title. And then, hey, screw you guys. I'm in charge of Scum. And then there you go. Which, yes, Ari, as you said, very Aces and Eights-esque. Again. Hey, you put out Jay Lethal, so at this point,
it's happening. I think that's the swerve. I think Lethal wins the belt and joins.
Man, Lethal is barely passable, in my opinion, as a face promo. As a heel promo? Oh, man. I don't know.
Well, that's why you got Steve Corino.
Thank God.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so that's a lot of talk about Scum and this 10-man war. We have barely scratched the surface on this iPay-per-view, so let's move on to some more speculation, because ACH and TD Thomas, or Tadarius Thomas, whichever he prefers to go by, I think he prefers TD, the company prefers Tadarius, I don't know, they are going to be taking on QT Marshall and Blank. So Artie Evans was away from Ring of Honor for a while QT Marshall continued to compete. He, of course, manages QT Marshall. He returned on television, and he says that he has found another talent, another client of equal talent to QT Marshall to join his unnamed management group. They're going to announce who it is on the night, I suppose. QT Marshall, at the War show, he name-dropped. He said he really would like Alex Shelley to be his partner, but he also named Hiroshi Tanahashi and Prince Devitt, which is quite clearly trolling the fans, because there's no way they're booking Tanahashi or Devitt, and Shelley seems a long shot as well, but I am always up to see Alex Shelley, so please feel free to prove me wrong, but I think he's just kind of baiting the fans, and it's going to be someone else. I literally do not have a single guess who his partner is going to be.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. Eric Stevens.
Guys, clearly you have not been paying attention to the news. Liger is going to be in town.
Well,
come on!
I think he's booked elsewhere, guys. I think
at the time of the Ring of Honor show, I'm not so sure.
On Friday, isn't he doing PWS?
Isn't that before?
I don't know.
I'm just trolling you guys. I don't. It's obviously not Liger.
Anyway, ACH and TD Thomas, they work really well together. It's very entertaining. They had a match with the American Wolves, wherein they controlled about 80% of it, got the crowd on their feet, and then the Wolves, win in three moves, which is the status quo, I guess, with the Wolves. But, great little tag team, both very exciting wrestlers. I think they're getting the Future Shock / CNC Wrestle Factory treatment, wherein Ring of Honor are intending to push them, so they're going to make them job to everybody for months, despite stealing the show. So that, to me, says QT Marshall and Blank win the match, especially as Blank is probably a debuting or returning wrestler. So the normal thing is, if someone debuts a new gimmick or a new faction appears or a new wrestler appears, they surely have to win. So my guess is QT Marshall and Blank go over. Chris, you have any speculation at all other than Jushin Liger who this partner is going to be and who's going to win this match?
Sadly, I do, and it's not going to be the person I think it is, because I'm thinking Artie pays a call to a very good friend of his, the mysterious and handsome stranger, and he teams with QT Marshall. But it's not going to happen. It's probably going to be some some guy, you know, maybe a person we all know. Obviously, hopefully with a heel, because it's going to be weird having a returning star that everyone's going to be like, yay, it's you. Oh, wait, you're teaming with Cutie Marshall. So,
Brett,
you know.
Albright.
The shooter.
Hey,
nice. Nice. Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree with you, Matt, that QT and whoever his partner is should go over, you know, for the same reasons you mentioned. But, you know, no, I have no idea.
I'm genuinely stumped. Whenever they have these mystery people, I'm pretty good at guessing them, but I've got nothing. Ari, have you got anything that isn't Jushin Liger or the mysterious and handsome stranger, which is actually a worse guess than Jushin Liger?
Shane Hagedorn. That is my guess, because QT is sometimes referred to as like the little bit more of a buffer Shane Hagedorn, you know. So
you just made why QT not better.
Why not? I think it's going to be I'm going to disagree with you, Matt, and Circle will get the square, because I think ACH and TD are winning this match. I think the debuting guy is going to be someone who's going to be like a heel, like a lower card heel. Maybe he's working for Ring of Honor, maybe not, but, you know, probably someone who, you know, is on the under, like an undercard act who can go under and you know, make those guys look good.
Pele Primo? No?
Well, maybe Pele. I mean, Pele has been a face for the most part. I mean,
Right. That's right. He was a face.
Here, Bobby Dempsey would get like face reactions. So
yeah,
Sugarfoot, clearly.
It could be Alex. Yeah, it could be Alex Payne. Maybe you know.
Whoever it is, it literally
could be anyone.
You've got to think they don't want them to overshadow QT Marshall, because he's kind of seen as like the main event. Well, not the main event act, but sort of one of their projects. So whoever debuts, it's got to be either.
Thanks, Ari. Exactly.
John Walters.
Oh, you mean RJ Brewer?
John Bradshaw Layfield.
Matt Bentley.
Hey, Michael Shane is, you know, that would be a hell of a return right there.
Jason Rantz.
No.
Isn't he in jail?
Nope. Russ Lennon.
No, almost as bad. He's an FIP. What? That's horrible.
Ouch.
Bye-bye sponsorship.
Yep.
All right.
Let's move along.
I didn't say that at all. Anyway, just before we move on, ACH and TD, loving the combination. And,
yes.
I think they're going to win, because why not?
Because they're future shocks, so they can't win until they break up.
But QT Marshall is certainly not Cassius Ohno or Claudio Castagnoli, so...
No.
Cesaro, so it's...
They want QT Marshall to be nice and built up for when Ciampa comes back and kills him to death.
He lost to Grizzly Redwood in 3 seconds on the final battle pre-show. How you know, a loss here is not
that
gonna...
ridiculous.
I didn't even know that happened. So
he just set out of nowhere. So you know,
they want him built up by the time Ciampa comes back. So I think he's got to run wild over lower card talent for a while. Unfortunately.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Ciampa coming back, I must say. Good appearance on The Art of Wrestling the other week, and I liked his work just before he got hurt, but that is besides the point of everything. Next up on the card was supposed to be Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin. No idea if that's happening anymore. Let's say Charlie Haas has retired. Let's say they've already paid Shelton Benjamin and he turns up. What do you do with him? Shane Haggard. What if he's QT Marshall's partner? He's just like,
welcome to 5 minutes ago, Matt.
Yeah, I'm getting paid. You need a partner. Fuck it.
I'll be everyone's mystery partner this week.
Yep.
You need an opponent, Shelton. I'm here. Book me.
Okay. If that match was to happen, my prediction was Haas wins, because Shelton's gone, but...
Yeah, clearly.
Who knows anymore, so let's just move the hell on from that, I think. Roderick Strong is going to be taking on... Okay, so Supercard of Honor has a tradition of... It's named for the fact they generally bring in outside talent. There's been the Dragon Gate guys, there were the Noah guys, there were Luchas, Awesome Kong and the Machine Guns apparently qualified to make it a supercard once. Supercard 106, there were no outside talents, but it was a very stacked card. It was a good show. This time, we have one outside talent, and I'm not going to say this is as good of a card as Supercard 6 was, but it's a pretty good outside talent. Not like blow away, but it's Carl Anderson, the Machine Gun, who, you know, years ago was not that big a deal, but he has really, really improved in New Japan, really since Giant Bernard went back to be Tensai/Sweet Tea on TV. You know, good decision there, Matthew Bloom. But Carl Anderson was kind of left on his own, and he really, really stepped up, and he's had great matches in the latter half of last year, and he's kind of a main event guy now in New Japan. So what a few years ago would have been kind of a anticlimactic booking, I think this is actually quite a good opportunity they've got here with Carl Anderson. It's not a guy that many people would have expected them to bring in, but it, you know, they can get him, apparently, and I think he's going to perform well against Roderick Strong. They had a match in PWG a few years ago, which was very, very intense. Carl Anderson shares Roderick Strong's philosophy of, hey, let's just hit each other really goddamn hard. So they are probably going to hit each other really goddamn hard. Carl Anderson is also booked for the next night on television, and he's going to face Michael Elgin. Elgin will surely win that. Now, outside talent generally goes under, and Roderick Strong needs some wins, but Roddy loses a lot of matches that he should win, so I wouldn't be stunned if Carl Anderson won to just sort of get him over and, you know, because potentially bring him back again in the future. I don't know. I'm going around in circles here. Ari, what do you think of Carl Anderson? What do you think of him facing Roderick Strong?
I haven't seen much of the recent work, but everyone else that I'm reading about, you know, as far as the fallout of these matches, lots of rave reviews. So, yeah, I think this definitely has the potential to steal a show, except I remember that, wasn't there one year where Roderick Strong faced Nakajima and they gave them like 10 minutes? So, you know, this, it seems like it really depends on how much time they give him. This could steal the show, though, if they give him some time and let them be the best of their abilities. And, yeah, I would say I agree with you, Matt. I think, you know, if you're going to bring in a guy from the outside, you want to give him, you know, and you know, whatever new partnership they have with New Japan or whatever, or if they did this outside, I don't know, or outside of them, I'm not sure. I would give Carl a win here and obviously put Elgin over him on the next night to, you know, build up Elgin and keep him strong. So, yeah, I would say this has a lot of potential, but it also, it could go like other Roderick Strong feature matches where he fights against outsiders, or, you know, like remember last year he wrestled Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno.
Yeah,
that was only an okay match. So it really is sort of like 50-50 to me whether or not this could be, you know, something special.
I think
or Anderson means more in Japan. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting because Roddy is kind of an undefined character right now because he's free of Truth Martini, and he doesn't, you know, he lost his feud with Elgin, and he's not really in title contention for anything right now. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see where he goes and what he does. That may fuel like the credence that he should lose the match. Maybe he's, I don't know, maybe he's going to go alone. Maybe he can find a new manager. Maybe he joins Scum. Probably not. But interesting, nonetheless. Chris, have you seen Carl Anderson's more recent work, and are you excited for this match?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've watched this stuff in New Japan. I've been checking out the iPay-per-views, the few that I've gotten, obviously, you know, like Wrestle Kingdom. His match with Tanahashi, it was obviously pretty darn good, but it is Tanahashi. You can't, it'd be hard pressed to say, oh no, it was a horrible match. But I was there for Carl Anderson's second Ring of Honor appearance at Chaos of the Cow, and he lost to Pierce, and it was, you know, it was an okay match. I think it was like the first, it was the opener match also, so it wasn't bad. But yeah, he's grown by leaps and bounds, and yeah, even though he may not have the name equity here that he does in Japan, the matches both of you guys have said, you know, could steal the show, and I'd say with Roderick Strong, yeah, from an in-ring standpoint, it could. I don't know, but I think giving him a win here may also say a little bit more about their relationship with New Japan going forward. It may not, but, you know, they have asked on Twitter, hey, who do you guys want to see from New Japan? Obviously, everyone's saying Devitt, Tanahashi, whatever. Probably long shots at best, but I think if he gets a win here, you know, you could say, okay, maybe they'll have a further relationship, and if he gets defeated by Strong and then not gets defeated by Elgin, okay, good, you know, nice to have Anderson and hopefully see him in another 5 years in Ring of Honor. So, but either way, yeah, I'm looking forward to the match.
I just want to take a step back and really appreciate the phrase, name equity. I think that was pretty awesome, Chris. That was really good job.
Oh, I am a marketing major, so yeah. It's...
You can tell. Okay, so let's move on. We have the ROH World Television title being defended. Matt Taven won the belt, shocked the world by beating Adam Cole. Adam Cole was champion for like 9 months and managed 4 defenses. That's crazy. I didn't realize that at all, but those are the facts. And then Matt Taven beats him on his first try after winning the Top Prospect tournament. He's aligned himself with Truth Martini. And it was doubly shocking because Adam Cole was deeply embroiled in a feud with Matt Hardy. So it was thought of that Matt Taven was kind of an afterthought to that feud, and Adam Cole was just going to easily beat Taven and then move on to Hardy, or continue with Hardy. And then Taven wins, and he debuted a hell of a finisher to win with. It's this cool kind of underhook DDT type thing. It's really cool. Taven, I think, has gotten a whole lot better in the last couple of months through the Top Prospect tournament. He's a guy that they were trying to feature him quite heavily last year on television, and I was not buying it in like his feud with Mike Mondo. Internally, they seemed really happy with that. I was always like, eh. And even at like Boiling Point last year, where did he win the contract in that 4-way match? I think he did. Anyway.
Wasn't it Cutie that won the contract, or am I thinking of a different match?
I think Taven won, but Cutie already had one or something. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't remember it all, so.
They were pushing Taven really hard, is my point, and I didn't really like him. But I thought he was really good in the Top Prospect tournament, and he really impressed me at Supercard of Honor. We're at Supercard of Honor now. At the 11th anniversary show, he really impressed me. And in the Hoopla Uncut segment, which, you know, that's kind of a ridiculous, you know, crossing a line there with Truth Martini, but kind of entertaining for a minute. And he's sort of channeling a bit of Austin Aries by saying, let me whip this out, and then bringing out the TV title. He's been quite charismatic as a heel, and I think he's a good choice as champion. It frees Adam Cole up to go on to bigger things in Ring of Honor. And it was a nice shock. Like, as I said, it was kind of a throwaway match, and Matt Hardy was expected to be the next opponent, and then bam, Matt Taven wins. Matt Hardy had already set himself up a match with Adam Cole for television, and if he'd won that, he was going to get another TV title shot or something. And he was left speechless on commentary when Taven won. They went ahead and had that match anyway, Nigel saying, you know, whoever wins this can face Taven at Supercard of Honor. And in the middle of that match, Matt Hardy, who had since joined Scum, Adam Cole got gored by Rhino, and that alleged, you know, that wasn't ruled a DQ, that was ruled a no contest. Now, when wrestlers beat up only one guy and they're aligned with the other guy in the match, personally I'm calling that a DQ and Adam Cole gets the shot, but apparently it's a no contest and both of them will receive the shot, and it's going to be a triple threat, Taven, Cole, Hardy. I think Taven retains by picking the bones between Cole and Hardy, laying each other out, and then Cole and Hardy have a grudge match later on with no belts on the line. But that's just my opinion. Chris, what is your opinion, and, you know, what do you think about Matt Taven?
I haven't done a 180 on him yet. I still think he's... the move, I feel, maybe was the correct move. He just... You know, he still has to grow on me. I have to see a little bit more of his work. I have been told by others, hey, you know, that, you know, I haven't checked him out a lot outside of Ring of Honor, but they all say, no, he's pretty solid in the ring. So I'm not saying he has to prove, quote unquote, anything to me at all, but I, you know, I hope to see it in Ring of Honor as well. And then Matt Hardy's in the match. whatever that means. It's the scum influence there, whatever that does. And then Cole's in it as well. I'm kind of hoping they keep the title on him, though, because if he just won it and then they take it off of him, it's pointless. So, yeah, I hope Taven retains. That's pretty much my only thoughts on it.
Yep. Ari, what do you think?
You know, I don't want to knock anybody as far as, you know, Taven, Cole, or Hardy. But Taven, you know, I agree with you, Matt. He really didn't do it for me at the beginning. And the top prospect tournament was okay. I mean, he was fine. But, you know, I don't know if it's the fact that he's new and it's going to take a while for me to get used to him having this big push so fast, and the heel turn. It doesn't really ring a bell with me. And you know, we've all heard the rumors. Excuse me for coughing, by the way, throughout the show. We've all heard the rumors of Adam Cole. You know, we seemingly talk about this every time. So. They took the title off him. I don't think they're going to put the title back on him. And I don't think many people want to see the title back on Hardy. So, unfortunately, I'm going to agree with Chris saying, you know, keep the title on Taven for now. And, you know, whatever. To me, this is just a match.
Oh, I'm interested in this match. I think Taven's got room to grow as the heel world TV champion. And, you know, he's going to feud with the likes of ACH and TD Thomas and Adam Page and whoever else they bring in. I think he's got himself a good role carved out, but yeah
I guess we'll see.
He hasn't fully proved himself. I just was surprised by that 11th anniversary show match.
I think
match.
We all were. yeah.
Not just the result, just his before. I think he really stepped up. Like, he was okay in the top prospect tournament, but I thought he was really good at the pay-per-view. That's what kind of made me turn around on him.
He showed more. There was more meat to garner at when, you know, we saw him there. But really, in the overall, I don't think many of us have seen a lot of his stuff. So, yeah, this is a chance for him to grow. And he's kind of that new heel, because you're going to have Hardy in there, too, as a heel. And so it's like, okay, so they team up on Cole, and they, you know, they back and forth with each other. So, you know.
Maybe I shouldn't be so close-minded. I mean, there are other wrestlers in the past and in the water who needed a chance to kind of spread their wings and fly a little bit. So,
yeah, I think it ends, as I said, with, you know, because Cole and Hardy have this grudge going, and I think that they get so consumed with beating each other up that Taven can just pin one of them. Like, say Hardy hits a Twist of Fate, and then Taven pins Cole. Or something like that. And then Hardy can go on to say, Cole, I pinned you like 3 times now or something. Let this go. And then Cole finally convinced him to have another match with him, and he beats him to get that off his back. I don't know. But let's move along. So recently Nigel McGuinness gave everybody in the world a title shot. But Jay Lethal and Michael Elgin have both had them. So he said, I can't just give them to you outright because, you know, you tried and you lost already. But I can. It's not to say you can never have one again. So they are facing a number one contenders match. It's face versus face. Both people that lost to Steen. Elgin took Steen to the limit. Took a pile driver off the middle rope to win that match. But he was kind of embroiled with Roderick Strong then. And, you know, he's finally gotten that off his back. So he's looking onward and upwards. Meanwhile, Jay Lethal has had this long personal feud with Steen, wherein Steen... You know, Cornette said Lethal didn't have the killer instinct. He toughened up. He kicked a referee in the balls, which obviously means you're a badass. Steen spat at his mother by accident. He went insane. He took Cornette out of the company. Just lots of promos. Lots and lots of promos. They had a match, Lethal and Steen, at the 11th anniversary show. Steen won. In the process, Steen kind of turned kind of face, and there was some interference, but Steen didn't necessarily want it. So, but Lethal will still tell you, you know, these are all the distractions that stop me from getting the title, but I am going to get this belt now, I'm convinced. So they both have kind of renewed vigor and a reason to just really want this title match. I think Elgin has to win, because Lethal, he's had 2 matches with Steen now, and it's not awful, just people, Lethal kind of gets kind of an eh reaction. Like, he seems to be getting good reactions at live shows, but I'm personally not feeling it, so I have therefore declared that everyone shares my opinion, and Michael Elgin will win, and Michael Elgin will go on to eventually face Steen and take the belt off him. Probably 1 year to the day where he failed, and they'll face again in Glory by Honor, I don't know, but I say Elgin wins. Ari, who do you say wins?
I agree. I think it's gonna be, this could be a really solid mid-card match to a solid two, like, really good mid-card match. I think it really depends, again, like, with the Strong and Carl Anderson match, how much time they give this one and how much they let them do. But, you know, if they just, if the backstage direction is just, you know, let you guys do your thing and impress the crowd, this could end up being really special. You know, Lethal is not my cup of tea, or maybe you guys' cup of tea as well, but, you know, not taking nothing away from him, he's really good as a wrestler. It's just his personality that doesn't really rub me the right way. So, and from an in-ring standpoint, again, really could be really, really good. But if I'm booking, I would give the win to Elgin and continue his upward trend back to another title shot.
Yep. Chris, what do you think? Disagree? Agree?
No, I pretty much agree. But I think it's funny to kind of point out that he doesn't have the greatest track record against Steen and ROH either. So, you know, it'd be intriguing to see him get another shot at him, much more than Lethal. So Lethal just, I don't, and I think, like Ari said, there's not much to Lethal right now. And I know, I think, what was it, Jerome's conversation with Kevin Steen, which everyone should check out. He mentioned he really wants to show the world that Lethal's a great wrestler. I think everyone knows Lethal's a great wrestler. It's just there's something missing from his character. There's just something that doesn't connect. So, you know, yeah, I'll say Elgin, you know, wins.
I used to love Jay Lethal when he was Black Machismo. I thought that was awesome. But yeah, when he's being himself, always found his personality kind of, that sounds really harsh, like a massive attack on Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal, you're boring. No. Just something kind of missing. I don't know what it is. He needs something more. And he is sinking his teeth into this as best he can. And I think, I don't know, I've liked him a bit more recently than I have before. But just, yeah, I think Elgin wins this, and it furthers Lethal towards turning and joining Scum, where, you know, he's like, well, I know I lost to Elgin, but still give me the title shot. Well, no. And then he says, well, this isn't fair. I'm joining Scum. Anyway, Ring of Honor World Tag Team Title Match, Red Dragon.
Matt, you cannot predict that everyone who loses is going to join Scum.
Yes, I can. Roderick Strong joins Scum. QT Marshall joins Scum. All the Ring of Honor guys that lose to Scum, they join Scum.
Oh, man.
Nigel McGuinness joins Scum. Everyone is in Scum except Kevin Steen. Anyway.
Shane Hagedorn joins Scum.
Sugarfoot. So the tag title match, Red Dragon and the American Wolves, we saw this match at Final Battle. They threw it together kind of quickly, but it was good. It made sense. Like Eddie Edwards bringing Bobby Fish back into the company, Kyle O'Reilly turning on Davey Richards. The two of them beat up Davey Richards, so no one's going to help you. Eddie Edwards accepts Davey's offer to reform the American Wolves. They school Red Dragon, and it seems like we're full steam ahead to the American Wolves facing the Briscoes for the title. But then Red Dragon shocked the world, and, well, kind of. They won the tag titles off the Briscoes, and, you know, they were really impressive on television. Like, they've come together quite well. I think they're actually a better fit than Cole and O'Reilly were, because while they made the best of it, they were kind of just thrown together as the two young guys on the roster, whereas O'Reilly and Fish have a very similar style of kicks and, you know, general striking and submissions. So I think they have good potential. It's kind of like, you know, Kyle O'Reilly escapes Future Shock, starts to go out on his own, and then he's right back in a tag team. But I think this is a good tag team. It's like James Storm. Like, you know, he leaves America's Most Wanted, breaks out on his own, ends up in Beer Money. Beer Money are huge. I'm not saying Red Dragon are Beer Money, but, you know. I think they're a good team.
Red Dragon. It doesn't have the same.
Not quite. Yeah, so I think Red Dragon go over here because, you know, the Wolves don't need another title reign. And I can't, I'm part of me thinks they only got the Wolves back together in the first place to get Red Dragon over, even though they beat them in the first match. But then you just have Red Dragon regroup, win the belts, beat the Wolves. Probably, you know, because they're going to be facing the Wolves in singles matches on television the next night. Richards against O'Reilly and Edwards against Fish. So it looks like this feud is going to continue, and that logically says that Red Dragon retain, and, you know, Red Dragon take on all comers for a while, and then probably the Briscoes beat them again and again and again. And just they're the 48-time tag champions by the time they retire. I don't know, but I definitely think Red Dragon are retaining. How about you, Chris?
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. They're retaining, and they're a good team. I'm really digging at what they're doing. I think their promos are very entertaining. And, yeah, I think you're right in terms of the Wolves kind of there to help get them over. But I'm also kind of glad to see Davey Richards in this. You know, I mean, you saw him. I don't know if you guys have watched it, but he did that shoot with Kevin Steen. And, you know, he kind of just says, yeah, my role as champion, you know, maybe, you know, got kind of stressful, and I don't think anyone could hold that against him, because it is, you know, it's a pretty stressful position to be in. Now that he doesn't have that weight on his shoulders, he can be a lot more fun. So, yeah, but I also think this match could steal the show too, because these four guys can go, and if they're just said, hey, go out there, kick some ass, they're going to do it, especially in front of a New York crowd.
Yep. I've got to say, I would rather see the Dojo Bros in ROH, but enough of that.
Absolutely.
Ari, what do you think about this match?
No, again, this match was a Final Battle rematch, right? I mean, they wrestled a lot, I think, when I saw them, and it was really good. It was a bit short, and I think with more time, they let them go at it and really, really, really tear the house down. Then yeah, this will be an awesome match. So yeah, I figure it's way too early for Red Dragon to lose the belts. I figured I had the same thing about the Briscoes last time, but they changed them anyway. But I think this time for sure, Red Dragon.
Boy, did they prove us wrong.
But they proved me wrong for sure.
Briscoe's got nothing to prove. It's Cena, you know?
They were definitely used as transition champs, and I didn't think they would be, but that's how they got used. So yeah, it's a Red Dragon transition, so I really don't think you're going to transition it again. I think the ultimate end goal is to have the Wolves work for it. So, yeah, Red Dragon wins here.
Yay. And then your main event, Kevin Steen, Jay Briscoe. Kevin Steen quite obviously retains. I really wanted to see that Briscoe-Briscoe match. I don't know. I just, you know, the Super Card of Honor, this is what Ring of Honor is about. It's the Briscoes. They're the franchise here. Jay Briscoe's been here since day one. First wrestler to wrestle on an ROH card. He's wrestled pretty much every champion as one of their earliest defenses. He's never won it. He's probably never going to, but God love him. He gets his shots, and Steen knows about wrestling the Briscoes quite obviously. So I don't doubt this is going to be a great match. Just, you know, it's Kevin Steen, Jay Briscoe. And I think a lot of people, I don't mind the match, but this doesn't scream best foot forward main event of WrestleMania weekend to a lot of people. They've tried to position Jay Briscoe as sort of the leader of the, you know, when they had this Honor Lives movement and everyone waving the ROH flag and Nigel's boys, Jay was sort of at the front of it. And, you know, you can't argue. He is the guy that's been here from day one. He is the longest tenured wrestler on the roster.
Nice talk to
him. Thank you. They're trying, and I support him fully. I love Jay Briscoe. I can't argue that it is not the best possible main event for a WrestleMania show. Like, maybe they don't care as much as people would like them to about, you know, maybe their opinion is, well, this is WrestleMania weekend. This isn't like our big weekend, but it should still be put on, I think it should be Final Battle as the top show of the year, and then the other shows, it's the Mania weekend, it's the anniversary show, and it's Glory by Honor. And this doesn't seem like, you know, top four pay-per-view of the year main event to me, as good as it's probably going to be. I don't know. Ari, what do you think?
I agree. Again, I sort of hinted at my thoughts on this match as a title match made event for a supercard. or for a WrestleMania show before, so I don't want to belabor the point. I guess the other thing is bleeding. I mean, Jay Briscoe's best title matches or best efforts in previous Ring of Honor history have always come where, you know, he's fought like hell and he's gotten the crowd to rally behind him. He's taken an ass whooping and delivered it right back. And he's also bled a lot. Again, the Samoa Joe match I mentioned before, he was probably one of his worst, you know, bloodlettings.
Jerry Lynn one, where he got busted on the guardrail and bled everywhere.
The one against Roderick Strong 2 years ago, I think, when Strong was champion. And that was a hell of a match. It was Only the Strong Survive. That main event did, I believe, and it was a fantastic match, but I don't think anyone really expected Jay to win the title then. And I don't think people expect Jay to win the title now, which means it might be a perfect time for Jay to actually break out of break out and win, and actually, you know, after all these title opportunities and different championship eras, to actually win the title. It would be a nice surprise along the lines of Eddie Edwards winning the title a couple of years ago in New York. And I think he will get a great reaction. But the problem is then, what do you do with Mark Briscoe? Does he sort of branch out on his own? Is it time for the Briscoes to branch out on their own?
I think it might be almost. Like,
yeah, or is it?
No, I don't want them to feud, but just I think it's.
No,
they did it a while ago, and they could just say, look, I think we're going to go solo for a while. We'll probably team up occasionally, but I think I would like to see them both make an earnest go of a solo run.
And they've tried to do this before. Like, remember that era where, like, Mark got, like, a shot against Christopher Daniels, I think, or was it Eddie Edwards? Whoever was TV champ at that time. And so, yeah, they've tried to do these moments before where they both go singles, and, you know, but they've always come back together as tags, and really that's been the predominant mode of operation. So in and of itself, I think it'll be a great match with an opportunity to really be like an epic match. But like, could it? I mean, I hate to say, like, will it hold a candle to other like WrestleMania weekend matches and shows? I don't know. It has the opportunity to do that, and it could very well be. And I never want to sell Steen short. Or Jay short. So, I just think, for them, a show that has Supercard of Honor as its title, it's not WrestleMania weekend, the pressure is on them, I think, to really deliver, which may not be a bad thing either.
I think what they're trying to do here is, rather than stack the card, I mean, it is a good card. The matches have been well set up and everything.
Yeah, it's
but
an okay show.
Rather than have this sort of like blockbuster main event, I think what they're saying is, this is what Ring of Honor is about. If you're a casual fan who's caught this show, these two are going to wrestle and they're going to blow your socks off and they're going to let the wrestling do the talking. This is what Ring of Honor wrestling is. This is Kevin Steen. This is Jay Briscoe. And like, it's not the dream main event fantasy booking of a Ring of Honor card for an iPay-per-view, but they're probably going to deliver I think they're in pretty safe hands to get a good main event out of these two. A good 20-minute match, probably. So I think that's what they're going for. Just, you know, this is Ring of Honor wrestling. You probably are going to like it. Here it is. Chris, what do you think?
Boy, are you two going to feel dumb when he wins the title.
Yes, we are.
Yes, you will. Probably. No, I really agree with everything you guys said. I know that's kind of sad that we have no dissension on this at all. But, man, Jay Briscoe is absolutely one of my favorite wrestlers. Not going to say of all time, because obviously his career is not even, hopefully, knocking wood, close to being done. But in Ring of Honor, I have always enjoyed his stuff. I think I've even mentioned ad nauseum to you guys, like, oh, God, Chris, please don't tell us he's going to win the title, ever. But I really have always wanted Jay Briscoe to be Ring of Honor champion. Odd little stat, according to ProFightDB.com, Jay Briscoe has a 0.6% win percentage in Ring of Honor. He's in the, obviously except for the odd man out here, kind of, people that don't have that many matches, he's within the top 25. Actually, I'd say he's within the top 15, looking at this. He's had a total of 309 matches in Ring of Honor. I mean, man, if they took this to that level and said, you know what, Supercard of Honor is the place to kind of make an event happen, Jay could win the title, and I think the roof would explode. Ari, I think you're a better judge of that. Yeah. You know, he gets those responses in New York.
Sure.
If he won in front of that crowd, I mean, I know it's Kevin Steen, he'd be beating, but, man, I think the crowd would really love to see that. So,
absolutely.
I'm just going to say it. I just want Jay Briscoe to win the title. I don't care if I'm wrong.
I would love Jay Briscoe to win the title. And when the Briscoes, on TV early 2012, they just won the tag titles again, and they were feuding with Haas and Benjamin, and they put them in the main event spot. And, you know, they're strutting around with the belts, with the T-shirts, and the crowd absolutely loves them, and they're cutting these promos, and they're being funny and putting on great matches, and they're treated as badasses. It works. Like, these guys work as main event talent despite being a tag team. And they could remain, like, you know, like we said, like, they don't have, they can go solo without feuding with each other. They can be just, you know, we are the Briscoes and Jay happens to be the world champion. I would absolutely support that, and it could work. Just, there's just so much set up with Steen and Scum and the ongoing continuity.
Is there a cat scratching someone's microphone or something?
It's not mine. I heard it too. I thought it was you, Ari, because you have a dog.
No, my dogs are in the enclosure. No, not going there. Not doing that joke.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying.
One little fact, Mark Briscoe actually has a higher win percentage at 61.5% with less matches.
Of course he does.
Of course Mark Briscoe does.
Well, Jay's put in the Jay's had more title shots, I would assume, and
obviously.
Yeah, his solo stuff is probably more. Yeah. Anyway, so there's your card. That's the Super Card of Honor 7, I think, from the Hammerstein Ballroom. And we'll just briefly say, you know, they're taping TV the next night. They've only announced these three matches.
Good.
I'm pretty sure they've only announced these three matches of Richards versus O'Reilly, Fish versus Edwards, and Carl Anderson versus Michael Elgin. I would imagine they're probably not going to announce any more TV matches because the way they've got it set up now is iPay-per-view followed by TV tapings.
Right.
If they show their hand before the iPay-per-view, they may give stuff away. So it's all going to be about the fallout from Supercard of Honor and moving towards the next iPay-per-view. And it's a wise move because the Hammerstein Ballroom has been kind to them in the past with crowd reactions. And, the Baltimore crowd, I think, is better than the HDNet Philly crowd were. Like, they do seem quite into the shows, but it'll be good for them to have the TV show exhibiting these big, passionate crowd responses from the New York fans and, you know, just being from New York just immediately. You know, I know there's some kind of bias towards New York, but hey, if you're doing TV
out
of New York, you've made it, you know? So hopefully they're going to get... Yeah, well, I'm sure you don't. So hopefully they're going to get these big reactions out of the New York crowd so they can get their angles going right and all their TV matches and whatnot. So, you know, not a huge amount to preview, just it is worth mentioning they are going to be taping TV from the Hammerstein for the first time. And,
it's going to be in the upstairs portion in the Grand Ballroom. So
it
is going to look a little bit different than the iPay-per-view. The iPay-per-view is in the downstairs, the larger area where the WWE and ECW pay-per-views have been some of Ring of Honor's pay-per-views have been there as well. But, and that's what we're talking about. This is where the upstairs part is where WWE started out with Monday Night Raw. That's where they take that, where, a lot of Ring of Honor seminal events have taken place. So I'm sure, you know, it's going to look... The audience is going to be great because it's a smaller venue. The acoustics, I think, are actually set up a little bit better to capture a rabid fan base reaction. But I do hope that their video quality is on point because I think actually they're better downstairs with video quality than they have been upstairs historically speaking. But that's their responsibility to work out, and I'm done talking about that kind of stuff for now. So hopefully they get it right.
Yeah. We kind of basically predicted Elgin's going to beat Anderson, and I would assume that Red Dragon, they either go 50-50 or Red Dragon cheat to win both matches. I don't know. I don't think it's really worth talking about. So should we wrap this up then, guys?
Sure.
Sure. Well then, there you go. That's our contribution to WrestleMania weekend for Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And, you know, hoping it's going to be a good show. We will see. We will have a live recap.
I'll be at WrestleCon instead. But hey,
there you go. Ari's not going to be there.
So. I won't miss your presence, Ari.
All right, you'll see me. You'll see me. Not there, but you'll see me.
Chris, are you going?
I am. I will be at Super Good. Card of Honor, live tweeting the results on our Twitter.
Good. Well then, let's plug some stuff and get out of here. I am Matt Waters. I host this podcast. Sometimes I feel like writing stuff, and I put it on our website. My Twitter account is Matt C. Waters. None of this was done enthusiastically. Ari Bernstein, however, is going to plug some stuff really enthusiastically.
My name is Ari Bernstein, and sometimes I write stuff for this website. And when I do, it's on this website or 411media.com. I also co-host the podcast of Honor. And yeah. This was said very enthusiastically. And now Chris will go through his plugs, and he will say it even more enthusiastically than I am right now.
We have all been to basic broadcasting training, and this is our radio voice.
I gotta say, I love the fact that, Ari, you almost did not remember the name of the podcast you just completed. That was awesome.
I was more concerned because we're still doing this bit, I think, and unintentionally. But I
hey, I've always kind of wanted to ask if we could steal away Attack of the Robot from you.
I got the order of the setup wrong. I completely flipped what Matt said, so now I feel like a jerk. And my life sucks now. So thanks, Matt.
It's okay.
All right, so let's get with some enthusiasm. As I said, I will be live-tweeting Supercard of Honor on the Twitter. That's twitter.com/PWPonderings. We will have live on-site iPay-per-view coverage of that, so you can go there, pwponderings.com as well, just in case. You never know. You know, so we wanted to cover everyone on both bases. We will also be tweeting CZW results at the same time, so we're going to be hashtagging it. Hashtag, obviously, for me, would be ROH and SCOH for Supercard of Honor. You can follow me on Twitter at CGSTongue. That's CGSTONG. I hope you guys listen to all of our audio content coming out. We have tons of it. I believe the Podcast of Honor, we're going to be the first ones. By the time you listen to this, we will be the first podcast released. I believe Jerome has another one. There's going to be a Viva Chikara. Lots of content
set the standard
on the website.
Exactly. Set the standard. Exactly. And everyone's going to jump way over it because this one was very low.
Oh, you put your best foot forward. Like, yes. We are the creme de la creme, you know, we're the best. We are the
body
Mike Mondo. We are Mike Mondo, the best.
We have no fear. That's exactly what we have.
We have no fear of backlash from the audience.
This is a great cluster.
So, as always, thanks for joining us. If you are listening to us on iTunes or on Stitcher, give us a review. Help that algorithm get out there and spread the word. As always, go to the main site, pwponderings.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. If you feel the need to contact me, you can do so at CGSTongue, that's CGSTONG on Twitter, and then same thing at pwponderings.com.
Twitter, Ari Bernstein. Yay.
Oh, God.
Most
man.
Important one. And you can find him by going to my Twitter. Yes, I just stole Brian Alvarez's gimmick. And as always, thanks, guys, for listening.
Yeah, well, remember last time when we were doing this podcast and you two were trying to keep it together and be professional? I was just like tweeting and watching NXT and those were good times. Anyway, WrestleMania
weekend.
Who wants
to compare though this time around? But next time, ROH versus NXT is returning.
Yeah, who won this week? Because we didn't. Yeah.
El Generico is in NXT. So, yeah, oh no, sorry, he's not. Sami Zayn.
He's not, sir.
Sami Zayn.
But he did wrestle Ivan Bourne, so.
Mm.
Mm. Toss up.
All right, good night, everybody.
Bye.